So I think what makes me unstoppable is I have perseverance. I think I just don't stop. And I also truly believe, like, if someone else can do it, why can't I? I grew up with that. My parents taught me that. And it's maybe delusional sometimes. I think to be an entrepreneur, you have to be slightly delusional because it's just the chances of making it are slim to begin with. But, you know, you're building a product and there's no guarantee of anything.
You gotta pick yourself up, go backwards, and slam yourself at the wall like 500 more times until the wall crumbles.
25% of middle school girls already believe they'll never achieve their dream career.
Hi, I'm Kara Golden, founder and CEO of Hint. Listening to Unstoppable, a podcast spotlighting the journeys of inspiring entrepreneurs. I believe that at its core, leadership is about constantly learning from the people around you, and I'm so inspired by the conversations we're having in our upcoming episodes and can't wait to share them with you. This season, some of my guests include Andrew Dudham, founder of Hims, Erica Nardini, CEO of Barstool Sports, Danielle Dubois, and Whitney Tingle, co-founders of Sakara Life, and much, much more. Plus, we ask the million-dollar question, what does it really take to be unstoppable? Let's find out. Hi, everybody. It's Kara Golden from Unstoppable. And we're very, very excited to have our next guest here today, Tina Hay. Hi, Tina.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Yeah. So, Tina, I'm so excited that she's here. Tina has just come out with a new book that we're going to talk about a little bit called Napkin Finance, but also she's the founder and CEO of that company as well. She's a seasoned entrepreneur, actually comes from great diverse background in film and technology and finance. And she started her career at Miramax Films and then Paramount. And she was the co-founder and president of City Tripping. I remember City Tripping. It's awesome. And the editor. And she's just done a lot of super cool things since then, including the founder of a platinum test group. Is this right?
Yeah.
We'll talk more, a little bit more about that as well. And then she also started and runs an environmental conservation group called All You Need Is One, which I would love to hear more about that too. So the book launched December 30th. Is that right for
exactly.
the date? And it's called Napkin Finance, Build Your Wealth in 30 Seconds or Less. And I, you know, would say that I got a minor in finance, but I learned a ton from that book too. And I loved it. It's the first illustrated guide that makes finance fun and accessible. And I know I shared it around our office to a lot of her employees too. And people were like, wow, this is awesome. This is really cool. And it's really debunks sort of the mystery behind a lot of the numbers and the, you know, phobic feeling that people get. So that's amazing. We'll talk more about it, but I feel like, you know, the one thing that I think is, you know, super great is that you're here and we're actually doing a book signing tonight in San Francisco. But in case you can't be here, I said, will you come on so that we can just talk to people a little bit more about this? And so welcome. Very cool.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here and very excited to talk about the book and all the new developments with the company and the platform and to see it out in the world, which is really exciting.
That's so cool. So take us back to the beginning of Napkin Finance. So where did you feel like this idea really came from?
So the inspiration was my own struggles learning about money and finance. I come from a liberal arts background, then went to business school at Harvard and found myself sitting in class with bankers and consultants. And I'm a visual learner, as many people are. And so I always struggled with numbers and text and jargon. And I found myself sketching out different concepts. And visual learning is a classic concept. So Mozart, Da Vinci, Freud all use visual images to solve the problems that they were working on. And so I found that that really resonated with me. And then after graduation, I did finance for a bit and real estate, and then went back into technology. And I started a platform for millennials and money, but a piece of it was Napkin Finance. And it started with one napkin on compound interest. And what was really amazing was to see that it resonated with so many people, this visual learning, especially when it comes to money and finance, since most people never learn in school or from their parents. And so what started with one napkin is now thousands of pieces of content and videos and illustration, storyboards, and graphics. And We've been working not only internally, we have a site, napkinfinance.com. We work with banks and financial institutions to educate their clients. So we're in 80 million households now in the U.S. and abroad. So we're in Spanish as well. And then we also do a lot of pro bono work for schools, nonprofits. We worked with Michelle Obama when she was in the White House for her Better Make Room initiative. We're working now with the U.S. Olympic Committee helping athletes with their unique financial needs. And that has been an amazing part of the company. And we're a for-good, for-profit company. And at our core, we've always provided resources to other, you know, organizations or people who don't have access to them. And so it's been amazing to see how it's resonated, and especially the visual learning, which is really unique when it comes to money.
Well, and I think it's what people are talking about just in education as a whole. So I think you've really hit a home run, and definitely. So walk through the creative process a little bit. So how does a napkin start for people?
So it's so interesting. The napkin, well, we're a digital platform. So we, you know, the content is mostly digital. What we do is we have a team of illustrators and designers and graphic artists, and then also financial experts that come together and create these napkins. So the process is very interactive. We start with text. So we start with an article or blog, and then we distill what's really important. We pull it out into a napkin, and then from that we build a video and other graphics as well. But the napkin is the foundation for it. And so it looks like it's very simple, but a lot of time goes into kind of what's not included in the napkin. So removing anything that doesn't add to it, so we can really get to what's simple and unique in a very small form factor. The napkin kind of forces you to be very focused on what's important. And we call it learning about money in 30 seconds or less, because really a picture tells 1,000, you know, words and quickly absorbs in a way that, you know, reading an article never will.
That's awesome. So if people spend 30 seconds on your site, what are they going to see?
We've tested it. I've been tested. And, you know, going through a napkin in 30 seconds, you can quickly grasp the core idea. And again, in a visual way, what we do is we tell stories around different topics and themes. And so that is really engaging and really gets people's attention. It's entertaining and it's fun and it's more palatable than any other type of learning that we've found. And so what's interesting is we are a digital company. We also now do printed napkins because we find people like touching and feeling things as well.
I love your printed napkins.
So that's been really fun to kind of experience as well. So it's been amazing. And the book has its own unique set of content that covers everything from budgeting and saving to cryptocurrency and game theory. So we really kind of cover everything we can in finance, taxes, credit, education, finance. So it's a great overview to money and finance in a very simple visual way.
So you have a great idea for a company. And, you know, I've seen that you've done partnerships with like Michelle Obama. And so how do you think people get the word out about their company and sort of what they're doing? I mean, that's a great example.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear it from an entrepreneur too, somebody who's got a great idea. How do you get the word out?
So I think my thoughts are, and the reality is it's expensive to pay for customers individually. And especially in our space where we're working with, competing with banks, essentially. We're educational, but again, our clients are, our customers and readers are the same. And so what we've been very lucky with is we're working with banks where they're carrying our content. We get attribution, so it's powered by Napkin Finance. So our best advertising is actually our content. It carries our name. And so it's been able to spread very organically. So we don't spend any money on marketing. And so, and we don't have a sales team, we don't have a business development team, everything comes to us kind of organically, which has been really amazing as a kind of someone who's trying to grow a startup, not to have to budget for that, puts us in a position where we can spend more and more money on the creative content and our assets and building our library.
That's awesome. So like you're partnered with JP Morgan, for example, how would that work? So employees at JP Morgan can...
So if you're a Chase customer, you can go on to Chase on their learning and insights, and you'll see our videos and our content and our articles and blogs. So we're creating content, and JP Morgan has been an amazing partner. We work with multiple banks and financial institutions, UBS, AARP, all age groups. But what's great is we're purely educational and we're transparent. So we're not selling any products. So when we partner with a bank, we tell them like our content, and they know what they value is that we are advocating for the reader. And so we educate their clients So if JP Morgan wants to, you know, communicate or help teach their beginning investors about diversification, risk tolerance, we help them do that. So it's really a win-win. It's, you know, I think there's a lot of marketing material out there, but really great educational content that's not trying to sell you a product is really valuable.
So that's a great partnership. That's amazing. So every successful venture has a tipping point. Do you feel like you've hit the tipping point? I mean, do you...
I don't know even where we are. It's been so exciting. I mean, we've seen like incredible growth over the last couple of years. And it's interesting being in a content business because content, it's not, you know, it's sometimes I wish or I say like my next company, I'll have a product, a physical product you can touch and feel. Like one label, one product.
There are some advantages to services.
Yes. Well, maybe the grass is always greener.
Yeah, like, right?
So content is interesting because we still have a lot of opportunities ahead of us that I see that we're just very much in our early phases. You know, education, as I mentioned before, is a big initiative for us, is helping people and helping younger people. So we're at the point right now where we have a lot of opportunities in front of us and we're deciding kind of the next step to grow the company and scale. And the hardest part is saying no to different know, projects. So that's where we are
and
right
staying
now.
Staying focused.
Exactly. And, staying focused and saying no and really putting our time and effort into a few kind of interesting opportunities.
And so how many people do you have in the company now?
We're about 25 people now.
Oh, wow. So good size.
We're good. We're small, but we're, you know, everyone hustles and we work very hard and, you know, we're building a lot of content. And so we're growing every day. So it's been really exciting.
That's awesome. That's great. So the book comes out. And who is this book for?
I mean, so the book, it's interesting. So there's no age window for financial education. So sometimes people talk about like the next generation, but we find the next generation can be younger people. It can be older women. We connect with a lot of people who've never thought about their finances or may find themselves divorced or widowed or in certain situations where they have to kind of take control of their money and finances. So we've worked with everyone from AARP. We're now doing a show with NBC Learn, which is a division of NBC News for kids. So the visual aspect of it makes it very much kind of relatable for different ages. And the book, what we've noticed is people are buying it for themselves or for their kids, giving it as a gift. It's been amazing to see that it has such broad appeal, which is really amazing and wonderful.
I love it. Yeah. No, I think that that's great. So do you feel like there's obviously the NBC show, but is there a focus on kids? I mean, do you think it's a natural, organic focus? Like, it seems like you've got a buyer that is buying it for kids. I mean,
So what's interesting is we get a lot of requests from parents who are like, how can I teach my kids about money? And so, or like, why is this not taught in school? And so the question is, and working with schools is a really complicated, challenging, you know, project for a startup. And so the question is, how do you get to kids and reach them in a way that's impactful and also helpful? And so we're figuring that out right now. I mean, the idea of helping kids is really amazing for us. And again, I mentioned before, we do a lot of pro bono work. So women and young girls are a big focus of that too, because I feel like they get left behind when it comes to money and finance and don't really participate in investing and really having more a long-term perspective. And so that's an exciting area for us, is helping younger women really become more financially stable and empowered.
No, I think that's important. I was listening, actually, one of the banks had a private wealth advisor that was at this conference that I was at. And she was talking about how, you know, today women actually live longer, yet unfortunately, they kind of let the husbands kind of handle, you know, the financial conversations. And so when they're actually in a situation where they're trying to figure out assets and trying to figure out exactly, you know, what's going on, the education component is so big, right? Like, and it's a tough thing. Like, I can only imagine. It's not just for younger women. It's also for every stage.
Definitely. And women are just generally more risk averse and find it more difficult to trust people with their money and to make decisions. And so, interestingly, studies have shown that women are actually better investors and have a more long-term perspective and more patient, but are also just much more careful and cautious and more savers. And so which works against them. So hopefully things are changing. More women are investing and kind of planning ahead. But oftentimes it is something that is passed along for someone else to take care of, which can be a big problem later in life.
Yeah, that's super, super interesting. And so when you funded this, did you take VC money, angel money along the way?
Like, so we bootstrapped the company. Mm-hmm. It was, we've never taken outside funding. So we're profitable, but because we have these partnerships with banks and financial institutions, we will be raising a larger round as we scale. Being self-funded has had its benefits. There's been a lot of flexibility to experiment and do things that we otherwise probably couldn't do. But it definitely has its issues as well and challenges. And, you know, we don't have a lot of money kind of to throw into marketing or into technology the way that I would like to. But it's been really interesting, and we've had to be very disciplined with every step we take.
Yeah, well, so, to even get to be 25 people, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. It's been fun.
Yeah, and this book is just really, I mean.
Yeah, we're Wall Street Journal bestseller, an Amazon bestseller. New York Times reviewed us, and they said it was the best personal finance primer they've read in many years, which is so amazing. It's so wonderful to hear. And
I mean,
really
that
special.
Is such a huge.
Yeah, like, it's we're all
big
very
deal.
Excited. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And so you're selling on Amazon.
Yes, we're everywhere books are sold.
Yeah.
And we're also, and the napkins, those are more kind of internally, but we've been using them more for marketing efforts, but we're hoping to have more physical products out soon.
I love it. Well, I'd love to see you, you know, speaking more on this topic, because I think that the more we can talk about finance too, especially being a female founder, too, I think it's super, super important. And I just, I have four teenagers, mm-hmm. and so I'm always like, I have two girls and two boys, and I see it in my kids that it's like the girls got really turned off by finance mm-hmm. early on. And,
so
you know,
yeah.
it is. And they were good at it, but they just sort of lost interest in it. And I really think that we need to bring it back into school. And I think also just the whole concept of visual learning, too. Like, why can't we bring it back in and talk more, you know, about like how people learn,
definitely.
And, you know, versus like saying, oh, women just don't get it.
Definitely. And women, you know, the issue is women also don't talk about it with mm-hmm. each other. So, you know, it's not part of the conversation. I think women are incredible investors and very good at planning and being organized about these things. So it's nice to see a shift where they are becoming more active and also taking advantage of like technology and tools where you don't necessarily have to go through a broker or financial advisor. So things are definitely changing, and it's exciting to see women being more proactive.
Yeah, I love it. So I always ask people two questions. So what's your favorite hint flavor?
A blackberry.
Yay, that was easy. Easy question. Yes. And then what makes you unstoppable?
So I think what makes me unstoppable is I have perseverance. I think I just don't stop. And I also truly believe, like, if someone else can do it, why can't I? I grew up with that. My parents taught me that. And it may be delusional sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think to be an entrepreneur, you have to be slightly delusional because it's just the chances of making it are slim to begin with. But, you know, you're building a product and there's no guarantee of anything. And so I think for me, I've always just thought if other people can do it, so can I. And I just never believe that it's not possible.
I love it. I love it. My book is coming out, as you know, in October, and it's about people breaking down walls and just going out and doing it and trying. And I think you're such a perfect example of that. And also finding your passion and finding, you know, what really makes you think. And so obviously, I would say one other thing about your unstoppableness is that I feel like you've had this journey that a lot of people are on, or maybe even at different stages of the journey, but you were in, you know, film and media, and then you went on to business school. You didn't really understand finance, and now you're running a company that is, you know, really speaking about this.
It's so fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually such an outsider, which actually makes it perfect.
Yeah.
Because I can speak to the you know, the layperson in a way that a bank or an advisor can't. And so I think being an outsider has been really helpful.
You're a customer of this,
exactly.
too. Like, you wish this product was here and
exactly.
it wasn't. And,
yeah.
and so I think that is, you know, something else for people to really take note of is that, you know, not everybody has it all figured out in their first job or, you know, their first venture or whatever. And you never know what will, you know, happen as you move on. And sometimes the scariest things to people are the ones that you ultimately want to conquer. Right. And I feel like there's a big story about that.
And the beauty of it is that is just, you just never know what kind of how your business will evolve. I mean, for us, it's just, I would never have predicted I'd be in finance and content education, but it's been amazing to see what has resonated and what people want, and being able to give people a product that helps them and excites them and is, you know, is fun and engaging is like such a reward. So I could never have started this company knowing that this is where we'd end up.
I love it.
The beauty of it. Yeah.
No, it's so great. So where do people, first of all, where do they find Tina Hay, but also napkinfinance.com is the website.
Exactly.
And then the book is, where's the best place you said?
Amazon, but everywhere books are sold. And then the company is at Napkin Finance on all of our social channels. And I'm at Tina J. Hay.
I love
on
it.
On social.
So. I love it. Great. Well, thank you so much for coming today. Super fun.
Thank you for having me. It's been really, really fun to chat.
Awesome.
If you like what you heard, please help spread the word and leave us a review. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Please talk to me at Kara Golden on Twitter. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, be unstoppable.
Unstoppable. Unstoppable.